Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. It's 1:33 in Edmonton. We're going to head off to the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline, where we're joined by our Oilers Now headliner. For Wilhauk beef jerky, it just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, Wilhauk today. I told you today I would get you the most popular Quebec politician ever on Oilers Now. I don't even know if he's in politics anymore. Wasn't he once a member of the Green Party? We welcome back to the show the former heavyweight champion of the National Hockey League, Edmonton sporting icon, Montreal-based media personality. We welcome back George LaRocque. Hello, George. How you doing?
It's been a while, Bob. How's everything on your side?
Oh, not bad, not bad. Your old Green Party didn't exactly smoke it last night, did they?
Well, you know how it goes. Like, it's gonna take a long time for the Green Party to be big, because even the chef now, she's not. Not everybody, I think, is respecting her. It's tough. It's not Elizabeth May. She has a tough road ahead of her. So there's a lot of work to be done. And, I voted Green. I'm not afraid of it to say it. But I know in Quebec it was mostly, the big battle was Liberal and Conservative.
And the Bloc in Quebec as well.
Yeah, but the Bloc is small. But again, a lot of people were upset about this election during COVID that Trudeau put on, and for nothing, because he said he was going to get a majority. And now people are looking at why wasting so much money when so many people need money, right?
Well, George, we opened the show up with the song "Right Back Where We Started From" by Maxine Nightingale, which is a great disco song, if there's ever such thing, from the late 70s. It was in the hockey movie Slapshot. And the latest tabulations we had, the Liberals in 2019 had 157 seats. They're at 158. The Conservatives in 2019 had 121. They're at 119, though there's an Edmonton riding that's like 100 votes apart, and the Conservatives could, unlikely to win that, but they could come back and win that. And the Bloc had 32 in the last election, 34. Like, the numbers are almost identical. So, it is what it is. And I'm having fun, because you're not, are you no longer currently, you're not running or anything like that as a member of the Green Party.
No. I told you, when I ran, I actually didn't want to run. Elizabeth May asked you to run. I said no. And then she announced that I was running in the riding in Bourassa, and I was like, well, then I had no choice. So, no,
how many votes did you get when you ran?
I had to actually step down, because what happened just before there was actually the vote, me and my partner, my former partner, we were suing each other, because I own a synthetic ice company. Company. And because we're suing each other, Elizabeth May was attacking all politicians that when they were suing each other, that she was saying that you guys should clean up your party before they go. Oh. And because I was suing me and my partner, I had to step down until the judgment was done. So because she was attacking other politicians that way. So just before the voting, I had to step out. And because I stepped out and the guy that took my place, he got like, I think, 50 votes. It was not good, man. So I did door-to-door for 6 months, knocking on door, until Elizabeth May told me, George, I'm sorry, but because this is an argument that I'm using in debate, you have to do it when your case is done. And then I won it, but only years after. So and then I would be able to run after for them. But after all this, what happened, the fact that I didn't want to run before, and I did, and I was a deputy leader for years, I was like, you know what? I did enough for the party, and I'm not going in there again.
George, were you just in Drayton Valley?
Yeah, I was in Saturday. I was playing hockey in Castor, Alberta.
Yeah.
Drove from Edmonton to go there. And on Sunday, yes, I was in Drayton Valley. And actually, you know what, Bob? Quick story. If you guys go to Castor, Alberta, make sure that you have those ultrasound or something for the deers, because on my way back, I almost hit two deers on my way back from Castor, Alberta. And my son was in the car with a friend of his. My heart was beeping, Bob, like I couldn't believe it. Right on the road, we came back at night, and you know how they run right across the highway?
They're attracted, George, they're attracted to the light, right?
Yeah, no, I know. I was so scared, though, because I saw one skunk and two deers that crossed right in front of me.
All those years I worked up north.
Today,
yep.
So, Bob, today, you could have had a different show, man, if I hit one.
Oh, because you would have been devastated. By the way, do you know who the best hockey player is out of Castor, Alberta, that I can think of?
Shane Doan. Shane Doan, the pride of Castor. Shane Doan and Darcy Tucker.
I was going to say Darcy Tucker. I thought Shane Doan was from Halkirk.
No, he's from there, too. Hey, listen, they're proud of those two guys. So when I got there, they told me the whole pedigree of it and stuff. So they're pretty proud of it because there's one road in that city, right?
Yeah.
And, it was pretty. But you know, it was neat to see all those people that don't always have a chance to meet many NHL players. And the fact that we had nine alumni, like five Oilers, and actually 10, five Oilers, five Flames alumni, and we played against one another.
Who was all there?
We had it. In the other side, Christian Nevsky was there, Brian Muir was there, Chris Joseph was there.
Great guy.
Great guy. And then the other side, Dan Emerson, Jamie McCown, Curtis Glenn Cross, Mason Raymond. No, it was awesome. Great guys that were there, and we had fun.
Yeah, Jamie McCown and the Battle of Alberta Golf Tournament that we did in Red Deer, the two-day event in early August, Jamie McCown and Kevin Lowe were telling stories about the good old days, and it was fun, like in front of like 400 people at the event. It was super. So, well done. Yeah, what was the charity that was involved in this?
Well, the charity for the first one in Castor, it was for raising money for the sports in Castor, to get kids active. And the next one in the Drayton Valley, it was to raise money for education. There's a kind of immigration house in Drayton Valley that are giving free tuition for people that come in and stuff to study, and it was for that. So it was two great cause. And just like you're talking about stories, there's always a hot stove after the dinner that
yes.
we do with those two communities. And then all of us, we were all like talking about different stories and stuff, making people laugh and having fun with them and stuff.
Awesome.
And, it was awesome. And I love going to those different communities because, you know, I'm also a public speaker. So I often even go there on my own and do talk to people and stuff. And I love doing, you know, how much I love to talk. So it was just awesome and stuff. And picking on guys and guys picking up on me because obviously the role that I had.
Yeah.
And you know what? Credit to you, Bob. A lot of people were telling me about how they love listening to me on your show. A lot of people say they never miss a Thursday when we're on together, and they love how we're having fun and how we're laughing.
We'll be picking up the Thursdays here in October when we get back to our regular rotation. George LaRocque, Edmonton sporting icon, the former heavyweight champion of the National Hockey League. By the way, George, somebody sent me, there's a local kid, he's from near Westlock, he's a tough guy in the Western League, his name is Cade McNally, and he got in a fight with Primo's kid, and the fight was over, and McNally clocked him as the fight was over. And that, and I, some, you know what, 18, I think he's 19. That happens once in a while when you're, did anybody ever, well, I know Donald Brashear one time, you let him, he was down, and you kind of were like, all right, it's over, and he came up and kind of suckered you a bit. Did anybody else pull that stunt on you when you played?
No, it only happened to me once. And actually, you know, it's funny that you're bringing that up because you remember how you used to criticize how when I was fighting, I was too honorable.
You were too honorable because sometimes a guy will take advantage of that.
Yeah, I know, but Bob, I don't care. If they did, that's fine. But you know, but listen to this, Bob. If I kill somebody,
I know,
because they're down and I hit him one more hit when it's already over, I have to live with this the rest of my life.
You're a good guy, George.
Yes, Brett sure did that to me, you're right. But it's okay, I didn't do it. I know that everybody that I fought, I respected them. And to me, when the guy was down, the fight was down. But I know that you and Robin sometimes, and there's an even article saying that, you know, punch first and talk after. Like, there's an article that came out in a journal once, because you guys were like, you should be mean enough, like, you know, having Brisher attitude. And because I was tough enough to be like that. And you were often, Bob, you were talking to me about back in the old days, guys were like that, right?
Yeah.
But me, you knew that.
You're a good guy, George.
Like, I was tough, but I was not a mean guy. Like, I couldn't be a mean guy. Like, I did it because it was my job, not because I liked it. So that mean streak, I didn't have it in me doing it. And it's remarkable how good I was at doing it when I didn't have that mean streak, because a lot of people were surprised, like, when they met me, the fact that I was even a fighter, because I never liked it, but I had to do whatever I had
in
the NHL.
You know who finished guys off once in a while? Dave Brown. Ooh. Like, he finished Cameron.
No,
is that the only guy you were ever a little bit nervous about, George? Dave Brown?
No, I was nervous. Listen, I was nervous in front of Brashear, in front of Bugard, in front of Domi, in front of Stu Grimson, in front of Jim McKenzie, in front of Tony Twist. Man, Tony Twist, I was sitting in the bench. Ronnie Lowe was the coach there. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I'm hoping, like, I'm looking in the warm-up. Kelly Chase and Tony Twist are on the red line, like, stretching, facing each other. And I'm alone in the all-this lineup. I'm like, oh, man, God, please make Tony Twist not play, just Chase, so I could fight Chase, not Tony Twist. I was actually praying in a warm-up, please, they don't need those two guys to play. I'm alone in the Oilers. And then I look at the lineup and the dressing before the game, bam, they're both playing. And I'm like, well, okay, I can't go with Chaser because it's going to look too obvious and I'm afraid of Tony Twist. So I'm like, okay, fine, I'm going to fight with Tony Twist. I have no choice. So I'm sitting in the bench, and and then when they put Tony Twist out there, because we had the second chance with Edmonton, I said, okay, Ronnie, put me out there. I give it a tap and run low. Mama looks at me with a smile. He said, are you sure, kid? I was like, man, even the coach think I don't stand a chance. I was, you know how nervous I was? He started laughing. So anyway, I go out there. I fought Tony Twist. I did very, very good until he lost all his jersey because he wasn't tied down. And when he lost his jersey after that, like, the fight was pretty much done. And then he got kicked out because of it. But
yep.
You know what? That's what I had to do, like, fighting guys like this. So I was petrified of Tony Twist, of everyone, because when I was a rookie. But, you know, it's tough, Bob, because the thought of, like, dying crosses your mind when you do this job. And you know what? It's insane. I can't believe that I did this for so long. And today I'm fine, and I have no heel effect from all the fighting that I've done, and I feel very, very fortunate.
Yeah, but, well, man, there's no question. Hey, George, very quickly, I know I've told you this before. I was doing Font Gordon stats in the St. Louis truck. Tony Twist gets tossed out of the game, okay, takes his gear off. Of course, half his you-know-what was already off in the fight.
Yes.
Comes
yes.
in, and he's wearing a muscle shirt, comes in and sits, and I'm in the open, like, the open bench seat in the truck. And he comes into our truck because he knew the producer, and he goes, that LaRock guy is going to be the next heavyweight champ of the NHL. He is one.
Really?
I told you the story, like, back in 2006. Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So he knew. He said, that guy's going to be the next heavyweight champ of the NHL. He's one strong. And I can't even use the word he used, but yeah. It son of a gun. Let's just say that.
Yeah. So, well, you know what? Coming from him, it's an honor because he was one of the toughest guys in the league for a long time. And, you know, people strike fear. Listen, he was so tough that, listen to this, Bob, in practice, he couldn't skate, right? But in his own practice, when there was one-on-one drill, the D's would let him go. Because if they stopped him, he would walk him. So when it was Twister, everybody let him go in practice because that guy was tough and he was mean and you never knew what he was going to do.
Oh, no, and he... Brownie dusted... He got a lot better from when he came in with Quebec City than to when he went to St. Louis. Like, he really improved as a fighter. But Dave Brown, you know, had that long left hand, and he could hurt you with it. All right, speaking of Quebec City, there's our segue, George, our transition. George LaRock joining us on the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. I think Quebec City can support an NHL team. I love the Battle of Quebec back in the day, back in the 80s. It was awesome to watch. Second best rivalry in hockey. For as much as I get frustrated with politics in Quebec once in a while, I know what hockey means in Quebec. George, I think the NHL could survive and thrive again in Quebec City. What about you?
I'm not sure, and I'll tell you why. A while ago when Quebec wanted the team, the American dollar and Canadian dollar was pretty much par. And that was an advantage. But now that it's not, to spend $1 billion to get an NHL team, because that's the price is going to be if you convert it in Canadian, right? And also you got to get an NHL team. And I don't know if they can. It's a lot of money. I know that they're saying that they're still hoping, and it would be awesome. There's nothing more that I would love to see a team in Quebec and bring the rival back up. But I don't know if, with everything that is going on, the economy and stuff and COVID, if CVA could afford to spend more than $1 billion to get a team. But again, I could be wrong because, you know, I don't know. It's tough to say. Maybe they're still in conversation that I don't know. I'd be surprised. But again, the rink is made. The rink is there. So they're ready. The infrastructure is there. So it's just to know if could the owner afford it or not. That's another question. But obviously it's up to the league. It's up to what's going to happen. And I know that the league wants to extend the market more in the States than in Canada because that's where they have to open ground and make more money. But, you know, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
George, one final one for you. Jonathan Drouin. He left the team last year, and I sort of perused through a story that was written by Eric Ingles from Sportsnet. What is Jonathan Drouin expected back this year at the Montreal Canadiens?
Yeah, Jonathan Drouin, now he's back at skating, and he did a coming out a couple of days ago, and he talked about for years he had to battle with anxiety and insomnia. And last year, 2 weeks before the playoffs, he had to leave because he had no more energy to play the game because of, you know, he had no more energy. He was too sick, too much anxiety, and he didn't sleep enough. So, and then he said he had no more fun playing hockey, so he left. And you know how hard it must have been for him to see his team going to Stanley Cup final. But he stayed close to the team. He talked to his teammates all the time. And now he talked about the reason why he had to go. And now he said he saw those problems. He was hoping to stay in Montreal and is excited to be back. And, he's skating right now. I'm hearing he's in great shape, and he's going to be ready to start the season, and hopefully he can play a full year healthy and he can contribute. Hopefully he could replace the points Tatar was bringing to the team. Hopefully he could have a 50-point season playing with Dvorak and Anderson in the second line, since the first is going to be Toffoli, Caulfield, and Suzuki. So, yeah, people are pretty exciting, and he's going to get a standing ovation the first game. Now it's just a matter of production now. So whatever happened to him now is in the past, and now going forward, he just has to deliver because he's still making 5.5 this year.
All right. So Gallagher's on the third line?
That's what I would think, yeah. I would think that, you know, Gallagher would be in the third line and Caulfield in the first. But, again, I could be wrong because Gallagher, again, is a guy that's been scoring 30 goals a year. But I don't see Caulfield playing my third line, which is a chicken roll, right? He's such an offensive threat. And the chemistry between him and Suzuki was amazing. And so that's why I would see more Gallagher in playing in the third line and maybe second line power play.
George, lots of positive response today from the listeners on our Ashley Fine Floors text line. Thank you for joining us here on Oilers Now.
Anytime, my friend.
Our favorite former politician out of the province of Quebec, Edmonton sporting icon George Laroc. His appearance brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. Royal Pizza. Pizza Pass is so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years. For a menu and a list of their 14 Edmonton and area locations, go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. The Stauffer recommendation at Royal Pizza is the Mediterranean chicken. I had the Texan last night. It was very good. This day in Oilers history brought to you all year long by New West Travel. Again, we'll have some information, travel permitting down the road, on a couple potential Oilers roadies. Dennis and Jason Laliberti and the team at New West Travel. What do you got, Brendan Escott?
In 1955, former Oiler and the first Finnish-born NHLer, Matti Hägman, is born in Helsinki. He was with Edmonton for two seasons from 1980 through 82. He scored 112 points in 147 games before returning to his hometown team in the Finnish Liga to finish his playing career.
Hagman had 53 and 59 point seasons with the Oilers, including 4 goals and 5 points in 9 games in the Oilers' playoff run back in 80-81. That's when they knocked off the Habs in 3 and lost to the Islanders in 6. Unfortunately, we lost Matty Hagman in October of 2016. Reed Wilkins tonight, for all your listeners, just a heads up right now in Inside Sports, Edmonton Oilers head coach Dave Tippett will join Reed at 6:05. Tomorrow, we'll have Oilers general manager and president of hockey operations Ken Holland. John Shannon, our NHL insider for Legacy Heating and Cooling, and David Staples, cult of hockey and provincial affairs writer for Post Media. Today is a big day with several cabinet shuffles taking place in the province of Alberta. Keep your ears on 630 CHED throughout the course of the afternoon. Rob Breckenridge today from 2 to 3. Jaylen Nye with 630 CHED afternoons, Monday through Friday from 3 until 6. And Jaylen will have all of the live coverage. Jason Kenny, the premier, he's doing double duty today. Cabinet shuffle at 3:30. And COVID update later on during the course of the day. Not sure at what point they're officially going to call Edmonton City Center, which I think was about 150 votes apart between Randy Bossigno of the Liberals and James Cummings of the Conservatives as well. Thank you to everybody for listening to today's wide-ranging conversation on Oilers Now. It's great having Speck and George LaRocque on the show. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.